Good morning. Don't worry a lot, and I think we're supposed to start only when we have got three members present. And luckily we are four, but committee members we are two. And I wouldn't like to have ourselves speaking to ourselves. Then can we be given an extra 3 to 5 minutes so that one or two members can come in? In the meantime, then we can try and make sure that we have got some fruitful expenditure at the end. Just 3 to 5 minutes, I think one or two will be in, then we can begin. I think once Moose is organized, then we should be able to start. No, it looks to be hyperactive. You know, I'm sure he's a supporter of Sundowns. No, it's thanks very much, honorable members, and Minister and the Deputy Minister, welcome, and the administration led by the DG, welcome to today's meeting. I think today's meeting is supposed to be the shortest meeting around because there are other conflicting meetings that have been organized by others. That makes our lives a lot more difficult. I'm aware that the DG and the minister, they will be going somewhere else to go and give a better life to others, and then also even myself. I think around 12:30. I'll be required to go and entertain others, the COC. So by 12 o'clock, we need it to be done. We need to be done. Welcome, Meraputi. Welcome, Mekenye. Today, our intention is to have the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter expenditure report for the Department of Home Affairs. But just before we do that, let me just indicate that we do have the Minister of Home Affairs. We can still say he's a brand new minister. Mkize will get used. Then we've got the Deputy Minister, Boom Mechohan. Then we have got the Director General, Hussein Aplen. We have got Tulan Mavuso, the DDG, for infrastructure planning and support. I hope he's going to tell us about new offices of Home Affairs. Then we have got Mr. Olambi, the Chief Financial Officer. Probably he may be enjoying something from Treasury by now after our interactions. Then we have got DDG for Civic Services, Vusi Mkhize. He will tell us about the blocked IDs. What is he doing about it? DDG McKay, I haven't seen McKay. He's not coming. Okay. And then the famous Mhoboko as well is not here. It's not going to be here. Then we have got Patience Chose is not here. She's not here. And then also today, of course, is the ministers left Madlala at home. And then the Umutiba. Umutiba is here. Thank you very much. Aya Atenda. And then we've got Muzi. Muzi is here. You can't miss him. And then we have got Patrick Williams, the Chief of Staff. Where is he? Are you standing? Oh! I thought you were standing there. I said, you're too short. Okay. I think that is the delegation that we have in front of us. And then we have got an apology from Honorable Nkomo. Then we are not aware of any other apology, which means that it's either they are still coming, honorable members, or they will have just not attended without our knowledge. Any reason to that? Thanks on that one. And then, honorable members, I think one just needs to thank all of you. For whatever you have said last week in the budget vote, whatever you have said, as long as you have said something to the people of South Africa about Home Affairs, thank you very much. And then it looks like we are here, and then we are serious about Home Affairs, and then we may be having different experiences, but many of us, we have got good experiences that we have seen, that we are feeling, and people are reporting to us. But that doesn't mean that there are no further challenges. Challenges are there, but things are turning for the good, and we hope that we will sustain that trajectory. And also, of course, is that we will still strive to get the BMA through. At the slightest, earliest opportunity, it will to go through, and we'll just make sure that we get all the relevant people that are supposed to be in there to make sure that it is passed, and then not rely on people that are not relevant to pass it, and we will just do that. We hope that it will be done in the next 2 weeks or so. Honorable members, and we can't put a lot of effort and energy in that piece of legislation and then it just sits in the shelf and not translate into anything that can give better life to our people. But thank you very much, and I hope that the minister and the deputy minister will assist us in giving us the briefing in relation to the fourth quarter expenditure report. If you are ready, I think we can proceed, honorable minister.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. The DG is leading the delegation. The delegation will be making a presentation, as it is a tradition, reviewing the fundamentals that were approved by this House in terms of the vision, mission, and value statements, and of course, talking to priorities. What I can say, we will join in later during the course of the discussion, Honorable Chairperson, but we have noted already a few concerns in terms of acting positions in our structures within the department. We've started a discussion as to how we deal with that timelessly. Also, what I can say, Chairperson, you will realize that in terms of our performance, in many instances, we are not yet at 100%. The DG, we will take the committee through, and some of the challenges we have, they talk to the interdependence of our functions. A good example being the experience with the BMA, where even the inter-ministerial implementing committee couldn't get 100% because much as government and cabinet had cleared it, but we had not launched it as they expected us to do so. In some instances, we have those challenges where we relied on other people to perform certain functions to get 100% in some functions. And generally, Chairperson, we will appreciate your guidance in taking the department forward. The committee is fully aware of where the new positioned Home Affairs document, which will still carry the same functions, but we are hoping that we will perform differently. I just thought I need to make those broad opening remarks. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
No, thanks, Minister, Honorable Chair, and Honorable Members, and the Deputy Minister, and colleagues. Chair, as Minister has indicated, we are here now to report on the last quarter of what we have moved in a way we could not avoid as well, what would be the total picture at the end of the financial year since it is the last quarter. So I will just be highlighting on those. And Chair, I think we'll be more looking at the areas where we have not achieved rather than repeating what we have achieved so that we can give more time to explain those areas. So with that, Chair, the issues of vision and mission is already known. I'll skip that. And as well, how we are supporting the 14 outcomes. And then, Chair, what has been our outcomes and strategic objectives are known by the committee presented during the presentation of the annual performance plan. Chair, what I wanted to say is that in this quarter, as a department, we have 35 targets which were planned for the fourth quarter, and then we have achieved 30 of those targets and not achieved 5, which now represent that we have achieved 86% of the targets set for the quarter. And with 5 not achieved, it represents 14%. Then, Chair, in terms of the programs, administration had 22 targets, of which 20 was achieved, 2 not achieved. Then I will come back and explain what were those targets. And then in civics, we had 5 targets for the quarter, 4 were achieved, 1 not achieved. And then immigration at 8 targets, of which 6 were achieved and 2 not achieved, and then gives us now 30, which were totally achieved, and gives us 86% in total with 5 not achieved. And Chair, in terms of other quarters, as we are now in quarter 4, it was good for us to say in program 1, we have achieved 91% of the set target and 80% in program
72 and 75 on program three, as we've got three programs. Then in terms of the analysis over the four quarters, in quarter one, was we managed it per quarter, we achieved 82%. And then in quarter two, there was a drop, which was 78%. And then in quarter four was a drop, which was 71%. And then now in the last quarter, we achieved 86% of the targets which were set. But I will explain which are those targets now which were constantly not being achieved. And then in terms of comparing now year to year, as I said, that now we are in the last quarter of the financial year, so we couldn't avoid what has been the aggregate now of those two quarters. So, Chair, if you look where we are coming from, in 2013-14, we were at 53% achieved and 47% not achieved. Then in 2014-15, we moved to 70 and not achieved 30. Then in the 15-16, we were at 81 and not achieved 19. And then now in the current year now, in total, we have achieved 84% and not achieved 16%. Yes, it is not 100%, which we are, because when we set targets, we want to achieve all of them. But we are saying there is still an improvement than in the previous year. But I will explain what were those targets which we could not achieve in total. So, what was saying now in the quarter, what were the highlights was for us to be able to issue 765 smart cards in the quarter for 16 years and above. And we're able to issue now the first issue IDs, 35,000 within 54 working days. And the reissues, we're able to issue 32,000 within 47 working days. And there's a little bit of a stability now in our system at the new corporation building. We'll remember, we'll always had a problem about the generator not working when the power is down and UPS, and so at least we've worked on that. And we pushed the issue of the white paper, which now we were able now to consult all the clusters, which resulted in that conference which we hosted on the 17th through 18th of March, and the white paper was approved by the cabinet as at end of March. So now we are taking that process now forward in the 17-18 financial year. And as well as we are improving in our permitting regime in terms of issuing the permits within the norms, though there are still challenges there. And we think now the achievement is really attributed now to our better planning and as well as monitoring the operations of the department. And we believe that the online adjudication or modernization in the department is helping us to be able to achieve these targets. But, Chair, as you said, it is not without that there are no challenges. And so these challenges really were talking about the five targets which overall in the year we were not able to achieve. One target was around the EMCS, because Chair, the EMCS which now want to build that biometric, the one which we are implementing is a pilot which we have done at OR Tambo in Syria. But this one is where we want now an interface of that fingerprints at the port with the harness and then as well with the NIS, so that if somebody now cross at our border, we must be able to check that if we are a foreign national and then now you have applied for an asylum seeker, but now next day you are traveling back to your country with a passport, the system must be able to detect that. Or if you are a national, you've got these fraudulent passports which we're talking about, we're able now to say you are carrying this passport, and then now once you put your finger, you must be able to go and link with us whether now in the NPR, are you the same person which is registered in that. So there was a delay in that issue because it's a complex process which we need to deal with it. So it's one of the targets which we did achieve now in the year. Then the other one, Chair, which the committee will recall, that we had a target of submitting the annual report by 30th of September. The committee is aware that we could not submit our annual report on the 30th of September due to those issues of how we must treat the issue of revenue. There was a lot of discussions and going back and forward between ourselves, Treasury, and the Auditor General, which was finally resolved late in the year. So that target could not be achieved. We didn't change that. Then the one, Chair, which is really a sore point for us, was with the registration of birth within 30 days. Chair, we missed this target by 4,000. We registered about 745,000 births in a year, but we couldn't register just 4,000. So we achieved 99.3%, but the 0.7 is still equal that we didn't achieve because we didn't get up to that number. So it's really a sore point for us, but it's something which we are working on it. I think we did inform the committee that we even engage together with DPME is one of the first projects which will be evaluating as a department for the first time, whether they will come with the scientific reasons for us why people are not registering kids within 30 days. And also get the issues of capacity, that now we realize that there's 29,000 kids which were registered between 31 days and 60. And then now, if we registered that number, we would have achieved that target. But the reason is that on Saturdays, on Sundays, and we're not at hospitals, and as well as public holidays. So it's something which we want to look at, that if we can increase the capacity, it can help us. But the issue now is for that study to help us to understand why people are not registering these kids within 30 days. Then the other one, Chase, the one which we have already talked about, there is a lot of work which has gone through the issue of BMA. As we tell you, are aware that there were a lot of issues between us and various departments, but really where we are now, we think we have passed those issues, except that now it just needs to be passed by Parliament, and then it can go to NCOP, and then we're able to deal with. Then, Chair, this one is really the matter of dependencies which we have, that now for us we did select ports which we're going to be improving their infrastructure. But now you can't go and improve somebody's property without an agreement. So we're dependent now on Public Works for the signing of the lease agreement. So three were not completed. Those disagreements then could not be able. So these are the five targets which can, we didn't achieve overall, which can give us that 16%. But again, in terms of then the challenges, I'm saying that we still, besides that, in our area now of permanent residence, and we're still working on this, as we know, Chair, that we've got a process where now the applications are received through the Visa Facilitation Center, and then now they need to link with our back office, and we want this thing to be online. So there were still some glitches there which we're still working on, but we're able to reach our targets. It doesn't mean they have any impact on our targets, that one. Chair, as I'm saying now, that the targets which have been achieved, I don't think I need to really take time on what we have achieved. I think the committee would be interested on those which have not been achieved. So now in program one, as I've said, that there were two targets which we didn't achieve in the quarter, which have yielded now to the one at the end, is that MCS which I was talking about, that we needed to have a user acceptance testing and backfill of the systems completed. We need to have an EMS with full biometric tested and piloted at one point of entry. So we're not able to finalize that, as what I've already explained, though it is in this quarter, but it was continuing in all quarters. That's why again now we've got that one target as not achieved overall. That was the only ones in the program one. So we'll go now to program two. Everything else has been achieved. achieved. Then in program two, there's only one target which was not achieved, which I've said is that birth registration that I said, you know, we miss it because in this quarter, you will see that we miss it with 2,000, and then in the other quarters, those numbers give it to about 4,000. So that target was the one which was not achieved in this quarter. Then again, cumulatively, give us the second target. And then on immigration, it's a PMA. So PMA has not been achieved in all the quarters as we're moving with it. So now cumulatively, again, that gives us the third target. And then the other one, which was the second one now, which is the fifth target, is the one of the ports of entry, which I was saying now we're dependent now on finalizing those agreements. So that was the only target now in the second one under immigration affairs. Then the rest were all achieved. So in summary, our report is saying that now out of the targets which we set for us for the year, we achieved 27 targets, and then now we could not achieve the five, which is those which I've mentioned to say it was the PMA, it was the EMCS, it was the registration of birth within 30 days, it was the ports of entry target which we could not achieve. So, Chair, from there now we'll move to the budget. So Sefo can do that. I'm not sure that your fever still allows you to do that. Okay. No, I can do it. No, it's fine. So, Chair, no, Sefo, we are sharing a fever. But I'm in a better than him. So, Chair, we'll also deal with the budget now in terms of correlation with the achievement which we have made. So, Chair, our budget is always a split in terms of that economic classification, in terms of what was budgeted for. So what was budgeted over the year was 8.155 billion. And then out of that, we did spend 8.143 billion. And then we've got an unspent amount of 12 million. I will explain what that amount was for. So we spent 99.8% of our budget, so we're short with 0.2%, which I will explain why it's on which item. And then, so we have applied all what we're supposed to do, but these figures are still unaudited. So on compensation of employees, we're 100%, and then goods and services. So where there is this unspent fund, which is 12 million, let me explain, Chair. Chair, you'll recall that as a department, we did report to the committee. That's why there's that meeting between us and National Treasury, whereby we were given an instruction not to fill any vacant post in the 2016-17 in order for us to be within the ceiling. Then around about September, during adjustment estimates, because of that, they wanted now to take money from, in fact, they took 45 million rand from the department as a result of those posts which were not filled in order to take us to the ceiling. But we complained to them to say, look, that the department has complied. Why do we take all the money? Because now we still need to do certain things. And they agree that, okay, they can give us 12 million out of that amount in order for us to procure a video conferencing and voice over IP. Because we're seeing as a department with these challenges of budget, if we can have a video conferencing, instead of calling people to meetings physically, we can meet whether provinces and even here with that, it can reduce the cost of traveling. And then now telephone, instead of people phoning outside the same data line which we have, why can't we implement a voice over IP? But Treasury, they had delays, I think, in the approval of the adjustment estimates last year. So they only managed to get that approval around about December. So it's then that it was in December where we're given now an authority to spend that 12 million rand. So in December already, you cannot be allowed to advertise a tender in a public service in December and January. So we only advertise now the tender for this video conferencing towards the end of January. So by end of March, we're not have completed that process. So get that 12 million, in order to explain to the committee, that is not money which was given to us at the beginning of the financial year. It was given to us during the adjustment estimates. And then we've requested a rollover for that amount, but it's for capital expenditure. So we're not sure whether they will approve or not. So that was the only amount which we could not spend as a department. So the rest, we're able to expend the money which we're given, which correlates with the 84%, because even the targets which we have not achieved, you will see that they do not have an impact on the budget, because it's not about a capital project. It's about our normal work, which is paid through the salaries. So, Chair, per program, as we said, that amount now was under administration. It was not under civil affairs and immigration services. So, as I've said, that now it's only that percentage is coming from voice over IP, then program 2 and 3 were able to spend their funds. Then, Chair, this is just a split, per program. It doesn't show any issues except, that 12 million, which you said. Chair, as you are aware, that we also get funding through that self-financing, where now we collect revenue, and then based on what we have collected, and then now we are able now to spend that money. So here again is to show that what was budgeted was 962 million. We're able to spend all of it. But as a department, again, now we collected about 1 billion rand of revenue. So there was still a change which we gave it to National Treasury. And we wish that they can give us all the money which we have collected, but it's just that it's what it has been earmarked for us. Yeah, the next slide is showing. No, it's a cash in transit. What we do, we agreed with Treasury that, remember, now we have to collect cash, which now in our offices, and then we appoint companies to take that money into the bank. But what we have done there, Chair, which now we can see why there was some savings there, is that we have implemented a card system in Home Affairs to say people mustn't bring cash. They can pay with their cards. We are starting to see the benefit of that, because now we are not keeping a lot of cash which must be transferred now into our offices. We still want to encourage more. In fact, we're saying at one stage we would want, if we had a way, to simply say we don't accept cash in Home Affairs, but it's still issues of people might not have an access. But there are very few people who do not have cards. People have got cards and they pay with them, because once you do that, look, now we're spending about, in the previous years, about 12 million rand just to collect that cash. But if people pay by the card, then it reduces it further for us to do that. That was the reason. And then what we're showing now, that but as a department, we're able to collect, because for us to maintain that facility with Treasury, we must not put Treasury at risk that they give us money to adjustment estimate and then we can't collect. So we've collected 1 billion rand and then they've given us a 962. So I think that's what we wanted to present to the committee. And as Minister, I have said that we always appreciate the guidance which we get from the committee. I think it was one of the visits which the committee took into our department, which we always appreciate that, because it helps us to be able to do things differently. So with that, Chair, we have moved. That's what we had to report to the committee. But Chair, as I've indicated, these figures are not yet audited, but we are confident that they are accurate. Thanks.
No. I've heard that you don't have a lot of humor today. you are not energetic today. There should be something behind it. Is that the figures are not audited? So you are not speaking with authority over them.
Okay.
Honorable members, I think we have heard the department. They have spoken to us. And there is one thing which I just wanted us to speak to. IEC and GPW, they don't exist outside this department. But their quarterly performance, when are we going to hear them? And how do we hear them? Is there anything that says the department should not speak to their targets? How would we monitor them? Because we see them once themselves in a year. But surely is that we do have their quarterly targets in the APPs, but then they disappear until after Christmas. Now the question that arises is the department not entitled to speak to some of them for us to be able to monitor or to be invited when the department comes and then somebody can actually take us through their own target, whether they are actually moving according to their plan. And Dr. Gumede, maybe can help us.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And good morning to the esteemed ladies and gentlemen and the Honorable Minister and Head Deputy. Chairperson, I want to first check what are we doing about undocumented immigrants. We are not mentioning them here, but these things now keep surfacing that so and so has, this girl has been taken by a foreign immigrant in the place. So now these things are accumulating, and then unless we are understood to be doing something about undocumented immigrants, that is not seen as xenophobic, but at least address some of these things. When we went with the committee on violence, the causes of violence and so forth, there were places in Durban that were open to everyone for child prostitution. I don't know whether you were there, Chairperson, when they showed us those places, even in Johannesburg and so forth. Now, these things from time to time create tensions. And I think we've got to find a way of saying to people, no, yes, we are doing something as a government to eradicate crime, or perhaps some of these crimes that we are not really used to as South Africans. Particularly around these past 2 weeks, there have been a lot of instances that, particularly on social media, that if left to accumulate may cause an embarrassment for our government. Looking at the messages that you see on social media, and secondly, Chairperson, I think the department, I do understand that the 16% that is outstanding, but I think it is important to talk on the impact of what has not been done, if there is any, because figures on their own without talking about the real impact, because the government had these targets because it wanted to solve some problems. If all the problems have been solved, and or perhaps the problems around those areas had been solved, I think there's no problem. But if they have not been solved, we've got to say, right, we did not use all the resources, but this is how we plan to solve the problems and so forth. And then there is also the issue of the issue of moratorium you talked about. but you did not talk about the posts you plan to fill per quarter. Perhaps if we could get that. And then there is an area also where we talk about that the DHA was not able to pilot the full biometric enhancement movement control system at more than one port in the coming year, despite a lack of SARS cooperation. What is this lack of SARS cooperation? Are we doing something about it? And can the committee assist with ensuring that perhaps there is cooperation between SARS in this respect, because it's one of our control tools around the management tools around the borders. And then lastly, around the limited IT capability to integrate DHA data platform, are we training enough people in the academy to be in a position to realize this objective as well on IT capability to integrate the Department of Home Affairs? And on the IEC, I think the less we intervene, the better on IEC, or the less we are seen to intervene, but we've got to do oversight. And I think the oversight we can continue to discuss that and see perhaps how best then to do oversight over an institution that has to be seen to be independent and without being perceived to interfere. But I think on the printing works department, we've got to do oversight and together with the department, because there are objectives, they have a mission, they have got the objectives that are measurable that we can look at. Thank you, Chairperson.
Now, thank you very much. I think what we just need to hear is, because you see now on the APPs we have engaged them, they gave us targets. As now the question is for them to come and account whether they are achieving their targets, just like as we now speak to the department. That's all what we need from them. Are you moving along with your own plan? Are you achieving the targets or not? Then now the question is, how do we want to hear them? Hear them through the department, or the department invites them when they come here, or we have separate meetings with them to come and actually account for their quarterly performance report or whatever. How do we want to hear them? But the question of them to account on the targets that they have told us, then it needs to happen. Yeah. Figlen?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, everybody. I just want to go back to slide 7, where the DGSA will come back with an explanation why this was not achieved, with the 2%, 1%, and 2% on the immigration affair. The second question that I want to ask is, the issue with the CETA being resolved between the CETA and the DHA. Last question, since recruitment is lifted, how many posts are planned to be filled per quarter? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Raputi.
Yeah, thank you very much, DG, for your presentation. You said that on the issue of birth registration, you cannot attain the target set because people register their children late, and even also the issue of weekends. DG, I was saying that, is it not possible to use the learnerships. You know, if you can bring some learnerships in your department that can be able to assist in that regard. And on the issue of staff laws, 202, what are the reasons? Because I think there is such a lot of, it is too much. You said 202 staff that you have, department have resigned. What did you do, the exit interviews? What was the reason? I think I'll pause.
Thank you, Honorable Kenya.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, DG, for the progressive presentation. Now that my first question has been asked about the recruitment strategy, the lifting, now I won't ask that question, as my colleagues have just asked. And then on the lease agreement could not be achieved, there were challenges, so the lease agreement could not be achieved due to dependence on DPW. Can be there a special arrangement with Treasury for this issue? Also, on your challenge, you talk about the zero tolerance on fraud and crime, but on your targets. But when you look on the permanent residence applications classified as high risk due to high level of fraud activities, like my marriage is of convenience. My question will be, noting that you say that is your target, what drastic strategies or drastic measures to be taken thereof to keep this ongoing risk? And I think this is the last one because some have been asked me. On system stability, noting the genocide issue, what issues, does the issues with the CETA be resolved? And lastly, you talk about the new MMS with full parameters not being achieved. And noting that there was a pilot in one of the port of entries, do you think that pilot, is there a success in the one which has been piloted? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kakana.
Thank you, Chair. let me apologize to you because you flagged to say that you don't have questions, and I thought Mikenya will ask because I saw some of the concern on her. That's why I didn't want to participate. So unfortunately, she never asked the way I wanted. Is the issue that goes with fraud, crime, and others. And if this thing has been taken very seriously in the department, it means that the department must tell us about the litigation. Because we can't have a department that doesn't have those. Or let them tell us anything that is related to this. We know that there are many things that are happening in the ports, in the borders, some of them are scary. But now if the DG reports without telling us about the cases and how far with those cases, then I started to have a problem. So I will be happy if we can be taken to the board. Thank you very much. And again, the last one is the issue of consultants. I just wanted to know how many consultants are you using and why are you using those consultants? Then we'll be able to see how do you exactly use your budget, whether it's misused or well used. I thank you.
Okay. Even though that there may not be targets, I think it's a DG, maybe in the drafters of your report, your quarterly report, just to have this on the people that have been locked up and in relation to fraud and corruption, because we know that you sometimes take other people to task on these things. Just to have a sentence or two every time in your quarterly report, and then I think it may assist us moving forward. Honorable Raputi.
No, Gigi was saying that they are trying to cap the fraud, and even on the issue of revenue collected because some of the because of using the card. And if you don't have a card, what is the recourse? And I see here the business and general work visas finalized. Are we still taking the general work? General work visas finalized within 8 weeks. Why should we still give the general works while we are saying that we need critical skills? I'm being phoned by doctors. Is it doctors? Because we've got shortage of doctors. Doctors, they've been phoning me. I've got some of them here. DG, who's going to assist me? Because really, we need doctors, those who have studied, because studied like in UCT and also at Vets University, who wants to do their, what is it, their intern. They want to be interns. There are some challenges there, and really we are having a cross shortage of doctors. Is it as critical as I know engineers? Even doctors, huh? So I'll get it from you, but this general work, thank you.
Okay, I think the DG will explain exactly how the process goes with the critical skills and who are the role players towards that. And Honorable Kachalia, if you've got no question, then you just simply say, I'm here. I'm with you. Okay. Now, thank you very much. If you don't have a question, and then I think the DG may have explained all of the critical issues that you may have had interest on. But let's get the responses. Of course, starting with you, Minister. If you are delegating, it's not a problem to be right at the end to close, it's fine.
Actually, I don't know whether I want to respond directly to questions that we've put to the department, but...
Let him respond, then you'll close.
Yes.
It will be far much better.
Okay. Yeah. I wanted just to talk to one area. You know, we have had a discussion around the management of the relationship between the department and the IEC. You will recall, Chairperson, that recently they were to come here, and the first thing I said, surely as a department we should oversee whatever they are doing. There was even a case, everybody in cabinet talks about the case that the judgment of what is this place again? Okay, I'm not doing it. Togwe. What are implications with the 2019? And that's where I started saying, surely without interfering with their core processes, there should be a way of accounting. There were two actually. It's the public protector's report. Is the global judgment. So we have flagged that as a department, and definitely the DG will be taking it forward. We thought post the budget vote so that there's a clear engagement with them. That it's, I mean, there are other commissions. They are not the first ones. We had the big one, the TRC, we have many commissions. justice, we look at what the public protector is doing without interfering with how they make decisions. So there are decided cases already with this commission. So the DG will take that process forward through senior management, and we should be able to guide the committee how we see the relationship between us and them. Chairperson, allow me to put this broad question. Some of the questions that honorable members are asking, I listen carefully from honorable members. I'll get into trouble when I say this. No comment. Yeah. You see, somewhere we have to debate the immigration policy beyond what the department is doing. The department has come up with an integrated migration policy, but the questions that are beginning to come, even from the ruling party, you can see that some of these things has to be taken at that level so as to guide the department as well. There are decisions which you can't, as a government official, make and decide on behalf of the country. But I think the debate has started, will gradually benefit from that, hopefully between now and the, especially after the policy conference, will pick up the thinking and begin to evaluate. I find that with regard to what Honorable Gumede was saying, we are people are all over. I get those requests almost every day, those queries. And I forward to DDG almost daily, but I can see where the problem is. There's what the department is doing. People are not on the same page with regard to the thinking of movement of people, especially between the amongst ourselves within the continent. Sometimes we take a conservative view. Sometimes people is like they are generous, they want to open up, so we need to a level where policies could be tightened so that there's clarity for everybody. That's just a broad opening statement I wanted to say to allow the DG to think through what you want to say. Thank you.
The issue of the immigration, I think it's the immigration policy has been presented to us, but we have not given ourselves an opportunity to discuss it as a committee. And possibly that can lead to either a debate in the House where we can talk to these things and then try and influence the finalization of the relevant policies. Because like as you're saying, Gumede is talking about undocumented foreign nationals. And then Raput is talking about ordinary general workers being afforded an opportunity to cross the border, then to come and actually contest the general workspace of our low or unskilled people in the country. Then you've got another category, which when they go to the Office of Home Affairs, they enjoy support and attention because they work there calling themselves pastors and bishops. And then Home Affairs officials respect them as men of cloth. But then in the process, then they get the necessary documentation, whether correctly or by crook. And then they go and run churches where they make our people to pay 6,000, 8,000 for certain miracles to happen and loot our people and pay no cent in the form of any tax at all. And then they live dubious life again. within our communities. I think all of you, you know you, where you are coming from, and you see these tents, big tents, where people are expected to go and pay money, and then with the hope that if they are crippled, then they will be able to walk. If they are dumb, they will find themselves speaking again and all that. But behind that, there is something that is unethical, immoral. But Home Affairs participate, because the kind of people I'm speaking about, majority of them are coming across our borders. They are coming from outside. And our communities believe in them. But in the process, they get ripped off. And the question, of course, is what role are we supposed to play? Because then there's an element of immigration there as well. And then in the process, then there is these dubious activities of creating some brothel, running, you know, human trafficking, and all sorts of things. And in the process as well, they bring drugs. Because surely, see, says we may not be investigators ourselves. I mean, we are just ordinary politicians here. But surely, you're a minister. You find a foreign national on the sidewalk in town with a little table with sweets, that the total stock of sweets that are there is not even 75 rands. These sweets, these ones of 5 cents, whatever, sweets only. Or maybe with packets of cigarettes, that the total stock may be about 300 rand. But sitting from morning until in the night on the sidewalk, then the question is that, will that little stock really take care of that person sitting there on the sidewalk for the whole day selling those sweets? Surely there is something wrong somewhere. Something is being done. Something that is lucrative is happening there behind all that. Because surely if you are selling any stock, the proceeds of what you sell must also take care of your cost of being there. You know, you can't sell for 70 rands the whole day, and then when you have been sitting there since morning until Chonalang, and continuous day in, day out, selling the same stock. Surely there is another way that people are actually taking care of their daily costs themselves, running their lives as well. So these are some of the things that maybe the net joins and specific municipalities, and then they have to actually really look at these things. Are we convinced that this particular hawker on the street with a stock that is even less than 200 rand sitting there the whole day, really, is it a genuine attempt to make life or not? You know, what is behind it? You may proceed, DG, before I just talk endlessly. Gumed.
Honorable Chair and Honorable DG. In fact, I just wanted to talk about this issue of immigration. This white paper that was sent to us, was it late? First term, was it there?
March.
I think what should happen for us to take the process forward is that the Honorable Minister should make a statement, and then the different political parties then respond to that statement. Statement on immigration, on the white paper on immigration, and saying what exactly it is, and then different political parties then respond to that statement. I think that would then start the debate in the media and everyone.
Yeah, I think it may be a good way forward, but the timing of it then has to be linked to our trip to Germany. Remember, it is one of the intentions as well, to be able to come and respond to that policy. How are other people doing things and all that? Yes, and probably it will be the trip is happening in 4 weeks or so. Yeah, it's around 17th of June to 24th of June. And then when we come back, I think we'll be sharpened enough to be able to talk to that immigration police, how the Europeans do it. And then ourselves as well, we can determine how we can did it. Thank you very much. Proceed, DG.
Yeah. No, thanks, Chair. No, Chair, I think this issue of immigration, as you said, that may be something which needs to be debated in that fashion. And when we do that, we don't only look at the white paper. We look at why do you want to establish BMA. How does it link? How does we link the repositioning of Home Affairs? Because if now we don't debate that in the context of the three, then we'll miss things. So I think, Chair, that it will help. So that when we answer these questions, we can see that everyone is linked with all of those. So I'm going to go now. I think Minister has made a proposal around the IEC and GPW in the issue of undocumented migrants as well, except, Chair, to say we remember the issue of immigration posts. That's why the committee is getting National Treasury here on the 30th of May, because we're saying if Home Affairs has got only 750 inspectorate officials across the country, it's impossible that they can do anything. I always make this example that if you drive in Tshwane there, you find Metro Police, four of them against one robot. They're watching that robot, turns green, turns blue, turns whatever color. But Home Affairs doesn't have that capacity. The Johannesburg one, we're saying they're appointing 1,500, adding into one city, 1,500. But Home Affairs has got 750 in the entire country. So, Chair, we've been saying that's why again now when we come on the 30th with Treasury, is the issue to say, you don't capacitate Home Affairs. It's not going to help us. We've been saying this thing 10 times, but it's not going to be. But again, we're happy that the committee has called Treasury back to deal with that. Let me come now to the issue of what is the impact. Let's take BMA. We're not the impact of not BMA being established. Porousness of borders, illicit mining. I mean, when people die about these mines, we sit and say, if our borders are porous. And Chair, you'll recall another issue, the immigration regulations. You remember immigration regulations were watered down. One of the recommendations there, which we have not implemented to date, we said, when you come to South Africa, go and apply in person for that visa. What was the reason? We wanted to take your biometric as you apply in your country of origin. So that now by the time you are here, we know who you are. But what happened? We're not supported on that matter. We end up saying, no, people must come because we'll take them when they are here. But what are the consequences of that? If a person comes to us, even if we talk about this priest chair we are talking about, if you ask how do they come to South Africa, they come as visitors. They come with a visitor's visa. And then when they are here, now starting to change things, which now is another fight which we had to say, you come to South Africa as a visitor. Go back to your country before you change your status. So all those things are there. The issue is the will to implement them. That's what we need. We need this country to have the will to implement what we have. That's why we said again that BMA, as I'm saying, is a matter, will assist us. And even the repositioning of Home Affairs, one of our arguments there is to say, Home Affairs must be established in an act. And Home Affairs must be operating in a secured manner. so that now even the staff which we recruit and the processes which we follow and who are part of the security cluster, not by name, but the way we are doing things. Once that happens, then they're going to help us. Yes, the infrastructure, the impact is that really we wanted to improve a little bit, but as Minister announced during the budget speech that we've got now that project of upgrading the six major ports, but this one was just a minimal mall, but it's one thing to do. EMCS is exactly what we wanted on that fingerprint thing, which we wanted to take, but even there, it still got an issue. No, even on the pilot, which we implemented, we put it and we take it off, we put it, we take it off because of the capacity. At OR Tambo, I mean, OR Tambo processes about 29,000 people there per annum. Now, what happens now is that when we implement that biometrics, it takes time for people to capture. But what frustrates travelers is to see empty counters. I'm standing in a queue here, I must catch my flight. But now we are taking your biometric there, but other counters are 10 are empty. When we're fighting and say, fill OR Tambo to capacity, chairs are going to be going to these countries. They take fingerprints, but what makes the difference? Their counters are full. When you are standing in a queue, you know why the counters are full. Once this one moves, that one goes there. But in South Africa, it's not. And when now we talk about departments which must not cut, I mean, we know, even when we were cut on the budget, we knew police were not cut, education was not cut, and health. They were mentioned to say, these ones we don't touch. But where was Home Affairs? Was on the ones which were touched. And then now what happens now? What I do? I go and say, no, at OR Tambo, implement 50% of the counters. Don't implement all of them, just 50%. But what is going to help me? If now I take fingerprints to the 50%, I leave the 50 without taking the fingerprints. It's a useless effort. But what must I do if now there is a pressure that people are standing in long queues? I even know that I will be called. You know the queue goes to Kentucky. I even know where that Kentucky is when I'm sitting at home. And then I start and say, hey, immigration officers, please now stop that thing. Let them go through. But you can't work on the security of the country like that. It can't. And then the issue of the birth registration, yes, as we said, it's a sore point for us. Even there, that's why a minister said the only thing which is going to help Home Affairs is to modernize. You know, as long as health still fill a form for the delivery of the child, and that form which has been filled, it means it's for health only. But if at the point that they are filling that form for the delivery of the child, must not be paper. It must be automated so that as they do that, that information comes automatically to Home Affairs. Then that's where we'll resolve these issues. So it's something which we really want to look at. Well, the impact of the moratorium on filling of the post, as was saying, Treasury, we are busy with them. We met with them yesterday because they were preparing for this meeting of the 30th. They still said, hey, the issue of the ceilings are still a reality. However, can we as Home Affairs now give them what we think are the critical posts which they can look at? Already we gave them and says with all other branches, but we said the branches which will want to give them something on them. One is with civics around this registration of birth. Two, certain is immigration around the issues of inspectorate. And then the third one is IT. That whatever we do, I'm not saying other branches is not important. I mean, I know the issue of litigation. If I can give you the number of legal people who have within the department, I mean, you will just be surprised. But with what we have, we said, if we can just put those three, but I don't know what the answer they will bring it. But what I'm saying, Chair, we are giving them, they came to us and said, can we do that? It's something which we'll do so we can look at that. No, Chair, our problem is not with SARS, it's with DPW. I heard the honourable member saying, do we have a problem with SARS? No, SARS is just an issue of, say, it's a capacity that everybody has, but the problem was with DPW, which, again, is this thing which we are talking about, that we are dependent on that department. I can only submit and push and push and push. You know, I was calling the DG of DPW, so I don't want minister to include this. In after he finished 100 days. Minister, when he joined this department, found a lift not working. We reported immediately on that day. But till today, it's not done. Yes, but so you go, you do what? I mean, everything. So what I'm saying, those are the issues which we sit with it. IT capability.
I think the honorable member that talked about you having a problem with SARS, I think, was it not on the MCS?
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That it's not that.
That's where you were saying you wanted to align, you know, the fingerprints to double check.
Yeah.
I think that's how they've raised that particular question.
Yes, but it was like, well, they're not cooperating. I was saying, if they're not cooperating, it's not that they're not cooperating, like DPW, is an issue of skills. Even that. Because what we're saying is that we needed a business process analyst in order to do that. It's what they did not have. It's not that they were not cooperating, say, something which they were working, but the department which had a problem with was the DPW. IT capability, Chair, yes, a learning academy can train up to a particular level, but that one is the skills which you must source. So that's why now we're saying, even in the list which we're coming with now on, to learn, we're giving that list, on the list which we're going to treasure about, we always say, if you compare, Home Affairs has got 60 staff members on IT, including secretaries and all that, whereas SARS has got about 800, because we must have business processors. But remember, even now, they're still short with skills. So now that's why, again, I was saying Learning Academy can train up to a particular level, but not at what we are. So around IT, which we'll be submitting now to I'm not going to do the positions, but we look at your enterprise program management. That's what we'll be giving them. Applications management, because Home Affairs, you know, this year would be now automating our birth, marriage, and death. Because once you do that, it's what will give us these capabilities with our health. So you need skills around that area. And now your security of the systems as well. If now as Home Affairs we don't have security expertise with these cyber attacks, which you can be expecting in an environment like that. So it's something which we look at. So what I was saying is that even before training, we need those skills first to be having them, and then can sharpen them through the learning academy. But for now, we don't have them. The issue of CETA, we have already briefed the minister that CETA came to, remember CETA was here, Chair. They are coming back on the 6th as well. As the committee wanted to intervene. They have made a proposal into the department, which now will be coming to present together on the 6th of June. But the proposal is still, because remember what was our request was for Home Affairs to be exempted to be part of CETA. However, that the Act is there to say for network services we have to procure through CETA. But they've come up with a process, because as we said as a department, so that want to go out of a CETA, what we're interested on is the uninterrupted networks. Whoever give it to us as a department, we are fine. So they're coming in now with a proposal which will make us to have a control on that process. We might have what we call a tripartite agreement, where it will be us will go through CETA, but they will have the supplier, but will sign that contract with the tree, so that we can understand what will be the supplier providing based on the money which will be paying to CETA. But GetShare will be coming up with that. So there is a process which we think it will resolve the issue which we have. Chair, in terms of the post which we'll be filling this year, I know we're coming to the committee now for the first quarter report. in July. So now the post which we earmarked, say, I think there are about 480, and then I will come and report how far we are with it during that time. Then the issue of learnerships, as we said, that even those learnerships, you still have to pay them. There's a minimum stipend which you need to have. And for a program like this, which is a core of the department, we can't run it based on learnership, because the learnership is a stopgap. And it's something which now we need to look at it and say, how can we resource this and all that. But we do have, even those learnership are at a particular level which you have. So as I've said now already, in the submission which now Treasurer will come up with on the 30th, we have included the issue of capacitating our hospitals so that we can look at this issue of registration. And then staff will resign. Firstly, we're saying as a department, people are resigning within the norms. Normally, they said now your vacancy rate must not be more than 10%, but ours is very low. So it's not that people are not leaving, but we're not having an alarming rate of people who are leaving the department. They're leaving it normally. And Chair, what we also we said we're doing in the department is to check people, are they leaving because they go and stay at home, or people are leaving because they are getting better positions. Because if they are leaving the Department of Home Affairs to get better positions, we are proud of that. We always say, for instance, a public protector was coming from the Department of Home Affairs. We know people have gone to those areas. So, others, MEC for Gauteng, and then others go as DDGs. So we look at that to say if people are leaving Home Affairs in order to go and be better in other areas. Where we are worried is when people can now leave to say, I want to go home, then get that. It gives us a nightmare. But we do analyze that, why people are leaving. So far, we don't get issues. Chair, when was the... Yes, I did. I have, sir. Okay. So, Chair, then the issue of the cards. No, when we say we want people to use cards, no, we don't stop people paying by cash. But we're saying it assists us for people now to leave. And, you know, on the e-channel, which we implemented in the department also, people, they pay through the banks without even coming to Home Affairs. So we're trying to reduce the issue of the cash. Chair, a general work visa, I think that gets into that debate, to say Home Affairs, we don't believe that we can be able to close the country completely. But what is important is to say, who must get that general work visa for what? It must not be just open and that for anything. But in the white paper, there's that interesting topic which says the visa regime which we have is more for people at the upper level. But we have to open for the lower because we can't close our borders. People from Lesotho, Swaziland, they will still cross the border. But can we have a way to manage that? But again, that debate will be getting into it, Chair. And then, well, the issues of doctors, we will really look, because the doctors are part of the critical skill, and then their internship is part of that study permit. It also includes it. We can't say to a doctor, come and study 6 years, and then when you're going to do it, you must go away. It is part of it, but it would be interesting to get if there are issues. This issue of fraud, I think, is one of the areas, again, which Minister said is wanting to us to pay attention to it. But even this one needs really, we need to work together with the law enforcement agencies. It can't be a matter of Home Affairs alone, but we need to pay attention on this. Yes, we've got a project called Visa Masina, which Honorable Gaganes was asking. We need to bring back, I don't have those stats now, but we need to be able to say, we have arrested so many employees in Home Affairs. How many have been able to be successful? And then all that. But there is an issue there which we are picking it up. I was saying there's something which we need to think about, but we'll bring that. that the court system in South Africa says, I need the person who was involved in that issue to give the evidence. If it's me, it's a hearsay. Now you arrest your employee because of abetting and all that with a foreign national. At a disciplinary hearing, that foreign national comes and sits in the disciplinary process and you dismiss the employee. The employee takes you to the next level where the foreign national disappears. And what happens? That employee wins the case. Because on the basis that now there is no more a witness, which is those are the problems which we face. But Getchez was saying that we will bring that report to say we do. That's why now I'm sure you will see even in the media and all that when we are arresting the people to deal with. But the issue, what is the success rate of those processes? So we'll be able to bring it. And get the systems which we are putting in place, Honorable Kenyans, to really push back. Why now we are talking about this permanent residence with inspectorate again? We know, you know, that's why in the proposal, in the white paper, we want to do away with this thing called a permanent residence. It's a sore point. Because people, they graduate. They know I'm here for 5 years, I get into this another 5 years and all that. So I say, no, let's do away with the permanent residence. If you want to come to our country, we can give you 30 years a visa or 50 years for that matter, whatever number of years you want, so that it is delinked to the issues of citizenship. That's why now our inspectorate, with the capacity now we do not have, they have to go and investigate those. That's why now we took out a permanent resident as a result of that relationship of a relative, first kid. Said, no, let's not have a target for us for that. So if it takes us 3 whatever years to investigate, be it. But the ones for critical skills will pay attention to it. So it's something which we need to deal with it. Then what is the success on the pilot, on the fingerprint? As I've already said, that thing is a stop in, top out. So we've implemented, what's the idea going forward? You know, with these passports, you'll recall that, Chair, you were there in the media briefing hosted by the minister just before the budget speech when the issue of 25 Tanzanian passports was raised. You know that, now I've seen that passport, and it just was only yesterday. They took the same passport as it is. They just paste another form exactly like that. And then now they put, what this thing, like that plastic, laminating. So when you look at this passport, it's this person and everything. But they just put something on the top. But the person will go now to the immigration officer and then just put this thing and cross. So it means that the passport as the book is not going to help you. The only thing which will help you is a biometric. I carry this passport. I'm in front of immigration officer. The only thing he just says, no, sir, I see your passport, put a fingerprint. Once this thing does not tie with this thing, you are gone. That's all what we need. So a book, that's why now that green book, we said that thing, want to close it. We want a smart card plus a e-passport, which is electronic. You put your finger, then that thing will stop. And even South Africans now, because remember now we're just taking for foreign nationals. South Africans, I must, when I go to a port, I must just put my finger, verify that I'm a South African, I'm in the harness of the department, and that's it. So that's why we are looking at, because once we do that, we'll be able to achieve that. So it goes back to what Minister have said, that modernize Home Affairs, that's all. That is the answer. Other things are just stopgaps. Litigation, we still believe we're amongst the highest litigated departments because we do touch everybody's life. I mean, tomorrow there is a court case now which is going at the Supreme the Court of Appeal where we granted one person a refugee status. We always go to court because people are saying we are not granting. But this time we're going to say, why did you grant? Yes. So what I'm saying is, another group now is going and say, why did you grant this person a refugee status? We are challenging you on that. So, no, I don't want to mention that, but what I'm saying is that I'm saying to explain that we are a highly litigated department. That's why again now I was saying that is one of the areas, if I had my in this money with treasure, I can find some little bit and then I can beef up that unit, because Home Affairs should have specialized legal people around the Refugee Act or immigration and all that, so that we're able to deal with it. And in fact, now the money we have only allocated now is going to be the first time that now immigration will have one legal person and the civics will have one legal person, just to be able now when those things go there, but that capacity is not there. So, Chair, we'll bring those to say, now what are the type of litigation which we have? And how do we deal with it, including in those cases of the staff. Consultants. Chair, we are not a department which uses a lot of consultants. No, we don't. The only consultants we have are those which we get in a through CETA, because CETA, they give us issues around the IT and all that. And then if we get, I think the consultant which we have was only now around the audit issues, remember that revenue issues which now was a problem. And then now we had to get those consultants, we wanted to resolve that issue, remember to say how do we make sure. So now when we come with a report now, an annual report, we hope that the results for that would have helped us as a department. So, Chair, another thing I wanted to explain, that remember this year we included the targets on the disciplinary cases. I think we're even corrected by the committee where we said 70% of people found guilty, and then the committee says, no, you can't say found guilty as if you already know. So we have included that now in the target for this year. So when we come and report, it will be part of the target. But we change it. Our minister signed. So we change now. We put a red time to say not found guilty, but 70% considered and something. So now when we come here now on a quarterly basis going forward, we'll be able to submit that. Thanks, Chair. I tried. If there's anything I left out, yes, I'm done.
I think it's about three times that I engaged the Department of Home Affairs at the different offices. There is a tendency of Home Affairs officials to advise customers to go to court. Officials saying, no, the best thing is for you to get a lawyer. It's the only thing that you can quickly get over this. You remember when we were speaking at that time about some other individuals who their IDs were blocked and all that, and then among the talks that we had, it's advice from an official of Home Affairs who says, no, the quickest way is to actually get a lawyer and go to court. Otherwise, we are going to take long. So what I'm just trying to say is that you must not be amazed when you find yourself being litigated almost every day. Some of the litigations originate inside the house. It's people being afraid to take decisions in terms of their positions, wanting to comply with a court ruling, which makes their life a lot more easier. Afraid to take responsibility. So those things, they do happen. And possibly as well, I think we may need to really expect the department to come with some innovative ways. So, I think this is the thing that we must just think. As much as we would engage on the immigration, whatever, then, but there must be some sort of an innovative way of dealing with the current 2 million or 3 million or 4 million undocumented foreign nationals that are on our streets today as we're speaking. Because you see, those are from Zimbabwe, there were special projects to try and regularize or deal with that and all that. But at the end of the day, what are we going to do with the 2 million or 3 million foreign nationals that are not fitting in any regime of our immigration? They are just on our streets. You go to a filling station there, half of the attendance at the filling station is them, no documents, nothing, because the filling station is managed by a foreign national with a document. Then I accommodate these brothers and sisters there. You know, it's, the parking lots at our malls is the same thing. You may see half or majority of them then don't speak any language in South Africa. And so we have a lot that is here. The immigration police will assist us to manage those that are going to come in and go out and blah, blah, blah. But those that are now resident are with us. What is there that we have to do? Those with sharp minds and whatever, and then we should entertain that particular issue moving forward. And then Deputy Minister and Minister, you have heard the questions from the honorable members, and the DG has tried to respond technically. The politics of those questions, the politics of those questions and the politics of the responses of the DG. Proceed.
I won't wait. I mean, you know, Chairperson, with regard to the question of whether our own officials encourages people to go to court or not. You see, for me, I think there's a trend worldwide. There's a growing field of lawyers who focus on immigration. Mm. It's part of this syndrome of democracy where people want to move around, you know, freely all over the world. That's why in most countries now, during elections, you find that there's no person who stand and want to be a president without debating his position on immigration. It's only us in South Africa where we leave this to the department. And as a result of the department, sometimes we are limited. Can you call Amnesty and say all those who are here who are undocumented, should they come forward so that they are processed, either taken back or whatever? We don't know. So I'm saying, besides our own officials, but we should expect more and more this growing field of lawyers to look for work. And they are very strong and they are aggressive. Whether you are in Europe or in developing countries, they work very hard and they push governments to the corner all the time. We must be prepared to deal with that. Maybe the capacity issue of ensuring that we don't give it to them on a silver plate, as the DG is saying, I don't know what is the solution. But, Chairperson, you know this thing of 4 million undocumented again, or more? Health, education, social development, the hospitality industry, they talk about this all the time. Minister Mtsoaledi will meet you and say, you know, my hospitals are going to get bankrupt because the statistics of Zimbabweans, they walk in and out. It's almost another province. Some for antenatal care, they come with a card and say, I started in this clinic in Zim. I'm not happy with this. I've come where I want to see a doctor. So for them, it's not even a different country. It's within. Same applies to the Free State. You hear the same story. I think Mozambicans, again, were at Tuatua Springs. It was all more or less the same story. People see this. So I don't know. And these other departments, they say we cannot deprive vulnerable people an opportunity to get help, to get education. They even give them grants. They say it's a vulnerable child at school. So, I don't know. That's one point which I think some of the problems are just beyond Home Affairs. But of course, we have to do our bit. Do what is within our means. The other point, Chair, I wanted to raise, you know, our criminal justice system, I think maybe this is the only country where if I'm refused the status as a refugee, I will go to a traditional court. In Europe, usually they have special commissions which are set up by government to deal with specifics. And they make it so difficult. I remember in the Netherlands, if you wanted to appeal something, they would say you'll go to a commission, and that commission is run in Dutch. So if you are a foreigner, it's almost like doors are open, but they are closed. You end up not taking up an issue. So in our people here go to court. You know, they challenge the decision of government. They go to court, and the matter will drag forever. And in the process, what happens? A person who was deported will disappear. So there's something we need to take within the criminal justice system so that we all look at how we're undermining each other's policies, the way we handle, the way the system handles people. The rate at which people, everybody will say, oh, you deport 80 and maybe 85 will come back. They don't realize that the problem is not what Home Affairs is doing. It's our own system is not coherent and tight enough to send a clear message that you cannot mess up with government of South Africa. I just wanted to talk to those broad issues, Chairperson. Thank you.
Deputy Minister, you have anything? To be streetwise.
Now you see, this is why you need technology. I can trip up the corrupt and the fraudulent. Chair, I think Minister has covered the need for a whole of government approach to migration when she was giving the examples of health, education, and so on, and how the system, in a sense, undermines what was intended. But, and I always come back to the Constitution. And our Constitution gives us many answers if we want to search for them. The problem is when you don't want to search for them, then you'll just ignore it. You see, if you look at your Bill of Rights, Section 21 and 22, if I'm not mistaken, says citizens have the right to enter and to reside in the country. Citizens. Nobody else. That is a right in the Bill of Rights. It's not even in some other chapter. It's in the rights chapter, the Bill of Rights. Citizens have the right to enter and to reside. Then it says citizens have the right to choose their occupation and can work and run a business. It doesn't say everybody. It says citizens. Now, if you understand your constitution and you understand that those rights of entering, residing, and choosing your occupation is reserved for citizens, you won't extend those rights to anybody else. So you can't say that people have a right to own spaza shops like refugees if you understood your constitution. You can't say that refugees have the right to run businesses in the country if you understood your constitution. Even if the right to education, the right to health and so on is extended to everybody, you first have the right to reside in the country before you can be granted education. You first have to, you have to jump through that hurdle of your Bill of Rights. If you don't jump through that hurdle, how can you say somebody has the right to education before the person has the right to reside or to enter the country? How can you say the person has a right to go and find a job wherever they're going to find the job in the country if they don't have the right to reside or enter your country? This is the problem that we have, it seems to me, that we're putting the cart before the horse. And very often, even our courts don't understand this. Minister is quite right. In fact, for many, many years, Home Affairs, not just under the ANC, but when Home Affairs even was under Minister Buthelezi.
I'm still under the ANC.
Under the ANC government as such. I'm saying this is a matter that shouldn't be partisan, that there should be specialized courts and specially trained people who deal with immigration. I was trained as a lawyer. We never were taught immigration law. Never. Not in the curriculum. Why? Because South Africa traditionally was not a country that participated in normal immigration. In fact, we were a sending country. People didn't want to come here. We were a pariah. So what use was it for us to even deal with immigration law? Since 1994, nothing's changed. Nobody studies these things. In fact, if you'll be very hard-pressed to find case law on this right in the Bill of Rights, the one that says only citizens have the right to enter and to reside. Every other thing, education, health, you'll find tons of jurisprudence. Courts are pronouncing on it left, right, and center. Lower courts, higher courts, medium courts, that's what they do every day. Education, health, social, you know, the state must come and provide, whether it's legal aid, you name it. But try and go and find jurisprudence on this issue. It seems we don't really understand our constitution. We don't understand its design and what informed it. Because there was a long and very intense process that led us to drafting this constitution. But it seems that we've decided in our heads that, you know, we must open up. Everybody means everybody. Legal, illegal, doesn't matter. So I think these are the things that we must start asking ourselves, and if we don't start taking ourselves seriously, nobody else will. You can't start documenting people who are undocumented now if your borders are porous, because you will be rewarding illegality. And when you reward illegality, you will find that it sends a different message to those people who are out there wanting to come to South Africa. And you will double and triple the 4 million in no time in your country. So what you need is a comprehensive approach. You need an all-of-government, all-of-society approach. We've got this arrangement that we spoke about with the film industry, with the Islamic institutions, where we've got them to buy into the immigration legislation. They regulate themselves. Now they are invested. Because why? They know they see benefits. They get quick visas, their people are able to come in, but they do a lot of the vetting for us. That's the kind of model that you need in the hospitality industry, in your petrol stations, wherever those sectors are. But you need the BMA. You can't do any of this without a proper border management agency, and then you need a law enforcement function. these are things that work together, Chair. There's no easy solution to this problem, and we have to have the resources deployed. Thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Honorable members, I think as Honorable Gumede has indicated, probably when we come back, I'm sure in July or August, whichever is the first month that we come back, it may be advisable that we have a ministerial statement, either on immigration or on citizenship. Just the citizenship thing. And we have a ministerial statement, and then we talk on it. We debate. We must be prepared to go and make noise in that house. Because surely is that, to be much more honest, I'm sure DG should be tired about this. Every time when there is a talk show in SAFM, the people that phone in, they show total lack of information of what is required for them to actually have the specific types of visas completely. And like as we have said, is that during the festive season, again, you have endless people that are refugees crying that the department is not assisting them because they want to go back home. They want to visit home. They are refugees, but they want to visit home. And then the department is not assisting them. So it's either there is a genuine lack of information on how the regime works in terms of immigration, or there is a deliberate misrepresentation of our systems. Even the lawyers, I mean, lawyers for human rights and all those, when we do the public hearings, when they speak, you can hear that they just decide to ignore other things and speak things that seeks to deliver services to their clients only, but forgetting the rights of the state, you know, to be able to safeguard itself and its borders. We hear them. I'm sure last time when we were speaking of, what was that? It was a refugee. Yes. I ended up have to say to them, is that, you can't be partisan. If you are a lawyer for human rights, you must advance the human rights. But within the context of the state as well, what does the Constitution say? Then you must also raise the things that those people are responsible to do while you are fighting for their rights. But then they are not doing that. They just simply fight for their clients and then forget about the responsibilities that they have to the state as they want to access these particular rights and all that. And it becomes a bit of a problem. That's why I'm saying is probably maybe a debate in the House on citizenship come immigration may empower the 400 members in that house to be able to explain to people wherever they are and explain certain things rather than keeping it among ourselves here and be overloaded to explain. I think that's what, it's just the one thing that I just think that probably we can engage on in a month's time and have that debate and the ministry leading that debate in the House. We will just try and negotiate with the programming whether they can allow us to do that. It is definitely important that everybody must understand the regime and must understand the constitutional provisions in relation to the citizenship and then into our law of the immigration as well. And, of course, to a certain extent, Mkhize's section of civic affairs, and then because really the changes that we are having from the green barcoded ID book to the smart ID card and then the e-passport that the DG is talking about, then would ordinarily bring a lot of confusion to certain people. You know, others outside there, they are saying that, no, they want the green I mean the smart ID card, but they are staying in the area where your office is not equipped. And then they don't go and take the green barcoded ID book. They say they're waiting for the smart ID card. So it looks like they think that the smart ID card is totally replacing the ID book. The ID book is discontinued with, whereas that is not the correct thing. In those areas where you don't have the capabilities, then we are still issuing the green barcoded ID book. So there is those little confusions out there, but we may need to deal with them. Is there any other honorable member that has got an issue, one or two things of follow-up, or we happy? Kashalia?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to voice a little concern in that certainly immigration is a pressing issue and we need to deal with it. And as I understand it, efforts are being made in many areas to deal with this. However, I must say some alarm bells ring in my head when I hear talk of phasing out permanent residence, for example. Permanent residence is granted to a foreigner who is able to meet certain criteria as set out in Section 26 and 7 of the Immigration Act, and that's what we are bound by. So I find it difficult to talk about phasing that out, and it's tied into me being wary about statements from the Honourable Minister, which state that we must send a clear message. I quote: "We must send a clear message to the courts and to the lawyers that you cannot mess with government." That also rings alarm bells in my head. And I'm also concerned about the Honourable Deputy Minister's perhaps categorization or move towards, you know, statements of creating a finite pool of citizens in this country. Because in terms of, that flies in the face of internationally accepted protocols in immigration. There are stepping stones to immigration which prevent you from having an absolute finite pool. And I worry, in conclusion, that many of these concerns of mine are going to be enshrined in the Border Management Authority. It is something which we need to have to look at extremely carefully. I thank you.
Honorable Kenya.
Thank you, Chairperson. Listening to the DG, Minister and Deputy Minister, there's a big problem here. What I'm thinking about now, when you're talking about the Bill of Rights that is enshrined in the Constitution, as Deputy Minister has alluded on, and talking to the law enforcement function, also looking at the DG has talked about the lack of evidence, less evidence, and lack of witnesses that causes them to be some of the those who are being found guilty being now freed. Now my question or my advice, and also taking a tune from what you had, if you remind, this also reminds me of what happened when we were deployed to probe the violence against foreign nationals, looking at this as well, talking about the escalation of crime now, and which is also linked to them, even though, as Chairperson has actually alluded, that we are not investigators, but we are listeners from our public representatives that listen to the citizens. Now, what I want to ask, or to give an advice, do you ever think of meeting as the peace and stability cluster of the departments, looking at the justice, police, defense, whatever, so as to check really and to maybe to listen to one another's problems. Maybe that also can assist in the problem I'm talking about. When we were there at Alexandra, the reason why I'm saying this, people were saying, here, the foreign nationals who is not even here, I'm talking about now, the Bill of Rights and the businesses, The Foreign National is not here, but he has got 10 spaza shops here. But he's not here. I'm worried about that. But he's just gone out. Now, noting that there are those problems, when somebody is in his or her own country, but he runs these spaza shops, 10 of them here, sending some of them to come and manage those using the conglomerates to use those spaza shops, is it not necessary that really to curb this crime, you must come together as the peace and stability cluster to look at these issues and to discuss these issues? Maybe we'll come up with certain, with all the problems we're getting, maybe we'll come to a consensus what can be done if we are talking about law enforcement. Also, on the issue of this birth certificate, DG. Also, why, as much as we're talking about the automatic getting of the birth from the Department of Health, do you also have that time to have bilateral with the Department of Health, to my understanding, so that you get the information from every Monday of what has happened during the weekends in the hospitals and the clinics, so that to get the exact numbers instead of depending on that automatically, you get them, so that you'll be specific that specific of the numbers you're getting during the weekends in the pathways. Thank you, sir.
Okay, go on.
Thanks, Chair. Let me put it here in this way. I remember when I was a CPF chairperson around 2001, when Steve Tshwete was the Minister of Police. We once established an inner city joint operation with Home Affairs and other forces, including private companies of security, whereby it was so successful, if everyone remembers about it, in the inner city of Johannesburg, whereby more than 10,000 undocumented foreigners were arrested and all illegal business were shut down. I think if our minister can start to come with this as an initiative from Home Affairs, talking to her counterpart, Minister of Police and other forces, and started to do this seriously, then we will win. But if there's no will from our executives, then you must forget, because the will must come from the ministers, and it's where these things will be successfully implemented. Remember that it's not only about crime; it also affects the economy. Remember the pricing of regalia, CDs, and other electronic equipment. So we must think deep when we talk about this thing, because of I think we must make sure that we save this country from these governance failures. We must make sure that we do things a right way. As the DG mentioned that, the BMA wanted to address some issues. But while the BMA is not approved or passed, then we should try to make sure that there are certain strategies that we follow, or certain operations that we follow. So my humble request is to say that let us see a joint operation, a very serious one. Then we will be somewhere. As even Mekenya said it. That's why I said it. Let me put it here. I thank you.
No, it's, thank you very much. And but I think we just need to raise one thing. You know, as honourable members, I think we have got a responsibility to make sure that our country is safeguarded. As honourable members, it is our responsibility to ensure that the citizens are secured. And and we ensure that those are responsible, they take their responsibility. Those that are accountable, they take their accountability. And we may differ politically, you know, from different political parties, but it doesn't mean that on even on things that are straightforward, that actually impact on sovereignty of the country, then we just differ, we just factionalize ourselves. It doesn't make sense, Honorable Figland. When it comes to issues of sovereignty of South Africa, probably because the DA is thinking that it's going to take over government in 2019, I can guess that you still want to take over a sovereign country. You still want to take over a sovereign country. And what one should say is that I'm sure we are aware that there was a project in Johannesburg, which the mayor there actually had had fever with foreign nationals on the streets, and more or less is almost the same thing we are saying is let them take accountability. If they are not documented, then they must present themselves to be documented. And if they are not supposed to be here, then they must go back home. And now, the question of permanent residence. Why would a person want permanent residence? Why should South Africa be in the business of taking citizens of other countries to come here? Where we just simply go on an onslaught and say, no, 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 no. Whenever you raise your head, you want permanent residence, then we just issue. Like, as I said before, even though that, you know, it may be an international trend, if you do that, you may close Lesotho tomorrow. You may close Lesotho tomorrow. Lesotho will be dead. You may close Swaziland just over a month or so. You'll issue all the Swazis the permanent residence, and then it is closed. Finish. End of story. But the fact of the matter is that our constitution is very clear. If you read our constitution, it's very clear. We respect the sovereignty of the countries along, around ourselves, and everywhere in the world. We are a sovereign country. We also respect the sovereignty of those countries. Therefore, when you do that, you cannot willy-nilly just go on a project of undermining sovereignty of countries, you know, and just simply say, no, you just pitch up, then we give you a permanent residence, you come in. And so you just simply don't even know in a year, like 2017 now, by the 31st of December, we may not be knowing how many people would have received the permanent residence. You may be having 10,000 of them, and all of a sudden your national population register just boomed up, and then unnecessarily. And so the issue of permanent residence, it should be a matter that is dealt with care. Dealt with care. And it must really be necessary. And we must have reasons to explain ourselves why we have issued you that. We must have serious reasons. It must not be a thing that it can just happen overnight and then somebody can just decide, no, just because I've been here for 5 years and then now I need permanent residence and that's it. It can't be. It can't be. It can't be. There are many reasons why people come to the country. We allow them to be here for 5 years or so. There are reasons we allow them. But that should not simply and mechanically translate into permanent residence. That should happen on certain conditions that we are very clear, and even when we explain ourselves to the rest of the world, they must make sense. The reasons must make sense. More or less, I think what has been raised is actually politics. Maybe the deputy minister and the minister would respond to Honorable Kashalia. Otherwise, Honorable Kenya was advising the DG Yes. If you have got any response to that. I just wanted to deal with the issue of sovereignty, that we are responsible as well as honorable members. We can't just behave in a manner that we just open everything. Proceed.
Thank you. I'll just be very short, Chair. Just to address the issue of a finite citizenry, I think that that is incorrect. You would know from the white paper that what we're trying to prevent is an evolution from achieving permanent residence to citizenship. All you need is to have that permanent residence for 5 years, and that's it. You now can achieve citizenship. It's not best practice in the world. That doesn't mean that you're not going to be enabled through another process as a foreign national to be naturalized in South Africa. That other process will look at your contribution to the country. It will look at how loyal you are to the country. It will take all of those types of things into account as opposed to merely the number of years you've spent in South Africa. This issue of the number of years spent in South Africa is leading to huge fraud and corruption, particularly in relation to people who claim that they are married to South Africans, hence require permanent residence, and then acquire citizenship. Only later do we then find that those marriages were in fact sham marriages. So this is just one of the ills that removing permanent residence hopes to address. But there are obviously better practices. When you accept somebody as a citizen, there should be a substantial reason why you do so. What is that person's contribution to the country? Is this person merely here to make money and then take that money out of the country? Is that the qualification you need to become a citizen? Surely not. And I think countries are alive to that, and we must look at best practice as far as that is concerned. So the intention is not to remove naturalized citizens completely.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I think you have picked up on this notion of sovereignty of the state. I was just asking the Deputy Minister the relevant section in the Constitution. I think in response to what Honorable Kachalia was saying, I think it confirms what Honorable Chairperson was saying, that we have to continue debating critical aspects of our immigration policy so that we have a common approach and a common understanding. It's not enough to define concepts, but we have to go deeper as public representatives so that we have a common understanding. With regard to a specific concern, what I was saying about government, I think we all know that all governments has a duty and a responsibility to protect and to secure its citizens. So some of the concerns we have, they are not about power, but responsibilities that are accepted worldwide, that as a government, your first duty is to secure and to make sure that your citizens feel safe. And for the rest, I really think we must go back to what the DG was saying, have a common understanding of the importance of the Border Management Authority, all of us. And of course, the conditions that we attach to people who have applied for the right to stay, the limits we put, and you know all those things, I think we have to debate. But I specifically, if I were to respond again to Honorable Kachalia, I was talking about the risk which we should manage. Government departments cannot be seen to be contradicting and undermining each other, because then you are not governing. That's what I was talking about. All over the world, cooperation is critical for government to succeed, especially when dealing with matters of movements of warm bodies in a globalized world. Everybody wants to be, I want to be in California, somebody else wants to be somewhere else, for different reasons. Governments then have a duty to ensure that the conditions are met, all necessary conditions for people to be within the territory and be able to account to citizens under which conditions are these people amongst us and here. And so I think it's, Chair, you put it correctly, that we should allow an open engagement on these issues. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. And I think those that follow the international happenings will tell you that in Europe, quite a good number of countries are closing their borders. And then in America, Donald Trump is also making immigrants run. He makes them run like nothing. But ourselves, we are not saying that we are making them run. All what we are doing is saying, let's manage the movement. And I think we must. I think there was that comment about the BMA. Also, I think we must remove that concern. The BMA is only about facilitating movement of persons and goods across our ports of entry. That's it. Finish and last. And then we shouldn't create a scarecrow out of the BMA. No. It's duty, that is the job of the BMA, in the most effective and efficient manner to manage the movement of people across our ports of entry. And that's it. So we should not misrepresent the BMA. I think we must just simply make sure that people understand. That's why last weekend then we tried to indicate, let us look exactly at the amended bill, what it says. Yes, the original bill may have said certain things or may not have said any certain things on certain aspects. But the amended bill, we have made it to say all the things we want it to say. And then it is important that we go and look at that amended bill and the report that we have put in and see exactly what this border management authority is expected to do. And then let's represent exactly what that bill represents. And it is important that we should ensure that this happens. I think, honorable members, on that score, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.
I love you. Thank you.